It's Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki, live from coast to coast. Just sit back for a spell, put your conscious mind on cruise, and let your unconscious come out to play.
Hi, this is Bill Gladwell, and you're listening to Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki. And let's see, today we're kicking off the show, and we're going to be talking about some of the frequently asked questions with hypnosis. And we run into a lot of misconceptions of what hypnosis really is. And so what I'd like to do is run through some of the questions that we run into, and then what I'd like to do is open up the phone lines if anybody wants to call in and ask the questions that they have. Because the misconceptions that we have with hypnosis actually come from TV, they come from movies, they come from what other people tell you, and they come from stage shows, which I've done them all. And I have been doing hypnosis for about 17 years, and my wife, Nikki, she has been doing it for right around, a year and a half now?
Yes.
And so what we'd like to do is just go through some of the misconceptions. What hypnosis really is, a lot of people have a misconception of what hypnosis is because of what they, what they see in the movies and what they hear on TV. And we have a lot of people that come to us and say, well, I'd like to be hypnotized for this or I'd like to be hypnotized for that. And they don't really understand what hypnosis is. As a matter of fact, we have some people that come to us that tell us that they would like to be hypnotized, but they don't really know if hypnosis really exists. And if you think of hypnosis as going to a hypnotherapist and sitting in a chair and relaxing and closing your eyes, then you're probably right because hypnosis really doesn't exist when it comes to that form of that view of what people have about hypnosis. So what hypnosis really is all communication is hypnosis. Everyone goes through hypnosis about four times an hour, so it's something that you do naturally. Now, I'm a trainer in hypnosis, and when I train people, the first thing that I tell them is that it's not about what you learn and then you apply, because hypnosis isn't anything new that you're doing now. Hypnosis is actually something that you're already doing about four times an hour, but how do you do it on purpose? And then after you learn how to do it on purpose yourself, how do you apply that and help other people enter that same state and teach them how to do it on purpose? So a lot of people will say, well, what does hypnosis feel like? And Nick, you've been hypnotized. What does it feel like?
It doesn't feel like anything abnormal or different. It feels like you sit down in your big easy chair and get relaxed. You remember everything. You know what you're doing. You're aware of everything. It's just really like you're focused really well.
When we do seminars, I tell people to equate it over to sitting in their chair late at night and watching TV, and they want to see the rest of the show or the rest of the movie that they're watching, but they can't seem to keep their eyes open. So they just let their eyes close and they listen to the rest of the TV show. And about 20% of the people that actually experience hypnosis on purpose will actually go into that state where they're sitting there listening to us talk, and it just feels like they're relaxing. There's another 60% who will actually feel like they're sitting there listening to the TV show with their eyes closed, and, for example, the phone rings, and it doesn't matter. You hear it ring, but you don't get up and get it. And then the remaining 20%, they will sit there, begin to listen to the TV show or watch the movie. They'll relax. And when they get to a point where the phone may ring, somebody may leave a message, and when the movie's over or the TV show is over, they wake up and they don't even realize that the movie or the TV somebody has called and the phone rang and they left a message. So they've gotten into such a deep state of relaxation and they're so focused on that TV show or that movie that nothing else seems to matter. These are the people that you see on stage and stage shows. So it's a nice state to go into, and about 15 minutes of being hypnotized is equal to about 2 hours of sleep. So it's a nice way to spend about 15 minutes and catch up on that. Now, Nikki, you went through training. I actually did the training with you on that. What can you tell people about? Not well. Let's start back when we met, which was about a couple years ago.
Yes.
Tell them about how we met and your view of hypnosis, and then how it progressed from there up until where you're at right now.
Okay. We met at the Women's Expo. I worked for a radio station, and Bill was the entertainment for the radio station event. I thought of hypnosis pretty much the same way, I guess, probably the rest of America does, or a huge segment of the population, which is that if you're hypnotized, you don't know what you're doing. People can make you do whatever they want. You have no control over anything. It's just fun and games. What I didn't know is that there's a whole other side of hypnosis, which is the clinical side, which is used for, anything from weight loss, smoking cessation, stress relief, pain control, gets rid of migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, you name it. Just about everything it can cover and help, which was absolutely amazing to me. I had no idea. And lo and behold, now I am able to do that and help people as well. So it's pretty exhilarating. But it's not what people think. It's not the stereotypical, you're in a trance and don't know what you're doing. So it's a little bit more aware. You're more aware of what you're doing, I guess, than most people would assume or believe.
There was actually a study done by the Mayo Clinic that came out, I think it was the summer of last year. And what they did with the study, they took many of the studies that were out there with hypnosis, and one of the studies was how to induce a state of hypnosis on purpose. And they took a group of people, and they had them close their eyes and relax and begin to talk to them in a monotone voice. And after a few minutes, they actually went into a trance. And when I say trance, that's any kind of altered state. So anytime you go from the state that you're at to a state of relaxation, that's an altered state, a state that you normally wouldn't be in during the day. They also took a group of people and put them on exercise bikes, told them to leave their eyes open, and begin to concentrate on their pedaling. And after a few minutes, they gave some suggestions to these people, the same suggestions that they gave to the people that they had relax and close their eyes. And the results were the same, because hypnosis is not about closed eyes. It's not about relaxation. It's about being in an altered state. It's the same as being in the zone, as a lot of athletes call it. When you are out in a basketball court, for example, if you remember Michael Jordan playing, he would go into the zone. Or if you watch Tiger Woods play golf, he goes into the zone. And it's kind of a flow that you go into, and you're focused, and you have a laser pinpointed awareness of what you're doing. And that's really what hypnosis boils down to. If you want to relate it over to something common that most everybody that drives does, is if you've ever been driving down the road and you can't remember how you got the last several miles, that's a state of hypnosis. Maybe you're in an elevator, and if you've ever noticed when you got in an elevator and you just stare at the numbers along with everybody else and nobody says anything, that's a state of hypnosis. So it's something that you do naturally. Now, I'm a trainer for the Society of Applied Hypnosis, and there's several hypnosis organizations out there. You have, for example, the American Board of Hypnotherapy. I'm also certified through them. And the difference between the different organizations, there's some similarities and there's some differences. Some of the organizations out there would train over a weekend. For example, you go in and you pay $300, $400, $500, and you train from Friday to Sunday, and you get a basic certification in hypnosis. There's other organizations out there that actually have their certification programs online, and I'm not really clear on how you can get a certification online in hypnosis, because it's an interaction between two people, but they have them. The thing that I like about the Society of Applied Hypnosis is training is that it's just that, it's applied. When you go through a training for the Society or the SAH, the trainer is responsible for the skill level of the student. And what I mean by that is that the students are required to demonstrate hands-on competency before they are certified. And if there's too many students turned out by a trainer who gets certified and the students begin to getting complaints, then they come back on the trainer and they start to question the trainer, what kind of curriculum are you using? Are you using ours? Are you testing them? Are you watching them in exercises? And that's a very important part of the training, is one-on-one work with another individual in the classroom, so you can actually recognize a trance when you put them into a trance. Also, that you can actually not only recognize it, but you can utilize it, because there's a difference between hypnotizing somebody and hypnotherapy. Because everyone can hypnotize somebody. It's very, very easy to do. It's a matter of what do you do after you get them in that state to help them, for example, stop smoking or help them lose weight. And Nikki, you came into this just about 2 years ago. And when it comes to weight loss and stop smoking, you've seen some of the results that we got. What are your views on, because I know you didn't know anything about hypnosis before that, but when you came into it and you started seeing these results that we were getting, specifically tell a story about that one lady that we ran into at a trade show and we didn't recognize her. And
Sandy.
Sandy, yeah.
Yeah. I want to back up for just one quick second before I go into that. I think you hit on something very important, which is any and everyone can be a hypnotist. It's really easy to do. And a big part of that is that you're hypnotized, you know, about four times an hour by yourself. So, you know, at the very least, somebody who calls himself a hypnotist can sit around and wait until you go into that trance. That's not the important part. The important part is the skill and the training that the hypnotist has. So if people are curious as to, you know, they're looking into hypnosis or are curious about hypnosis, the hypnosis part itself isn't what sets people apart. It's what they do after that. It's the suggestions that they give and the work that they do with you in that suggestible state. So I think that's a very, very important key element. Some of the things that I've seen as a result of our therapy and our treatment is just amazing. And the woman that Bill was talking about was a client of ours who came, I believe, once. Did she come once?
Yes, once. I think she did.
And she was one of those people that was really motivated, really driven, and we worked with her, walked her through. We do a six-step process. We walked her through that, went through everything that we needed to go through with her. And it was actually her and her husband, and they both went through the program, or through, the, I guess, the one part of the program, and left. And they took their CDs, and we didn't hear from them. We tried calling. You know, we had nothing. Didn't know where they were. Didn't know what was going on. And about 3 months went by, and this woman walks up to me. We were at a business event, and this woman walks up to me and stands smack in front of my face and says, "Hi." I said, "Hi." And she said, "Nikki, you don't recognize me at all." And I said, "No, I have absolutely no clue who you are." And she started laughing, and she said, "I'm Sandy. You worked with me just a couple months ago." I said, "Oh, my heavens." She had lost almost 40 pounds in those 3 months. Her husband had lost almost 30. And what we found out is they were so motivated, and the one session worked really, really well. They took their CD and just kind of ran with it. And the therapy worked on them to the point that they didn't have to come back. And didn't want to come back. They're like, "Nah, we're good. We don't need you anymore. We're good to go. They're done." And they have the CD still that they listen to, you know, occasionally, but they are doing phenomenal. And they're still losing weight. They still continue to lose and continue to develop into that, you know, goal that they wanted to achieve initially. So it was a huge success for us as well as for them, which I think is important.
And I think the important thing is here is that hypnosis does not make you lose weight. It does not make you stop smoking. What it does is it helps you change your habits. So when it comes to weight loss, there's only one way that you can really lose weight, and that's to burn more calories than what you take in. So you have to eat better. You have to eat less food. You have to eat at the right times, and you have to move more or exercise. And if you change your habits on those things, you'll lose weight. And that's really what it boils down to. Now, what I want to do also as we go through this is I would like to open up the phone lines and take calls from anybody that either has been through hypnosis and experienced it, or either, you know, even from hypnotherapists, or from people who would like to just call in and ask questions. Now, the toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Now, you can also reach us, you can go to our website. It's actually bill-nicky.com. That's bill-nicky.com. And you can drop us an email also. But if we have any phone calls, we'll take those.
We have a really cool link on our website, too, for anybody who's interested, that you can text us. So if you were out and about one day thinking about something we said on the show today and or another time, you can text us, and it comes right to our cell phones, and we'll get back to you right away. So just another cool thing that we have available. We try to work really closely with our clients and individuals, and we try to help anybody who has any questions or concerns about the hypnotic language, hypnosis in general, NLP, any of that?
We do. And so to get back to the hypnosis and what it really is, well, like I said, it'll help you change habits. There are hypnosis can be several different things. And the reason I say that is because when it comes to hypnosis, it depends on what we're working with a person for in order to determine what direction that we take it. For example, if we're working with somebody for weight loss, then what we're working on is habit change. We're working on a way to replace the habits they have with new habits that they have that they would like to adopt. And it's a big thing with smoking, and it's a big thing with eating. Weight loss is one of the hardest things to do. It doesn't matter if you use hypnosis or some other kind of weight loss plan, and because people think of it as a diet and it's a fight with willpower. When you want to lose weight, it can't be a diet. It can't be because it becomes a fight with willpower. What it needs to be is a way of eating. And I equate it to locking a tiger in the cage, because when you lock a tiger in the cage, when it comes to smoking, you can lock it in there and walk away and never have to see it again. When it comes to weight loss, you lock it in the cage and you have to go back and feed it at least 3 times a day. So you're always revisiting the thing that you want to change in the first place. Now, when people come to us, we hear all kinds of excuses when it comes to weight loss, stop smoking, any kind of habit that they want to change. And the reason is because they've tried so many times in the past to lose weight or stop smoking. But when it comes to making a change and changing your habits, it boils down to some simple, very easy steps. And if you follow them, even without hypnosis, you can make the change. But one of the first things that you want to do is decide what you really want and determine what's preventing you from getting it now, and link a whole lot of pain. When I say pain, I don't mean physical pain. It's just emotional pain to staying the way you are, and a whole lot of pleasure to becoming that person that you really want to be. So when your brain makes that shift, and if you think back on times that you've made a change in your life, because everybody's changed at some point or another some aspect of their life, that's what you really do, is you link a lot of pain to staying the way you are, and you link pleasure to being that person that you want to be. If you think back to Charles Dickens with Christmas Carol, and Scrooge in that story was visited by 3 ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And what they did was get him to link a lot of pain to the way he was, to the way he is, and the way he was going to be. And over the course of a night, he linked so much pain to the life that he was living that his brain automatically changed, and he became the person that he knew he could be. And that's essentially what you want to do when it comes to smoking, when it comes to weight loss. Now, the problem is that people tend to gain the weight back with interest after they begin to lose weight, or they stop smoking for 6 weeks to 7 or 6 months, and then they go back. And the reason is because they don't replace the positive intent that they were getting. They don't, smoking, eating, you're getting some joy out of it. That's why you do it. And if you don't get just as much joy doing something else, you're going to go back to doing the thing that was easiest. So many of you have stopped smoking just to go back 6 months later or to gain weight. You hear that so many times, that people stop smoking and then they gain weight. And the reason is because when they stop putting the cigarette in your mouth and they need to still feel relaxation, or they still need to socialize, it's that need other than putting the nicotine in their body that they need to fulfill. And so the next easiest thing is putting food in their mouth. When you put food in your mouth, it changes your body, it changes your chemicals in your body, and you actually get relaxed. It does make you feel better. Food also allows you to socialize, so it's the next easiest thing to go to after smoking. So that's why people turn to food and start to gain weight. So it's not that smoking makes you gain weight. It's what you turn to afterwards. Now, that is a habit change. We also work with athletes, and we have, golf programs. We have, we're going to be working with some athletes that are NFL prospects. And when you work with an athlete, you're not, or even in business, we work with business people that want to improve their sales, or people that want to stay focused and make sure they reach their goals. And it's not about a remedial change, like, okay, I have this habit or this problem and I'd like to get over it and this is what I'd like to do. They want to take something that they do well and they want to do it better. And that's really where the fun of hypnosis comes in at and working with people. Because when you can take somebody that's, for example, good at golf, that you can knock 12 strokes off of their game, they will love you forever, and they send people over and over to us in order to, just thank us. And the reason, I mean, it's a life-changing thing when you lose weight, and it's a life-changing thing when you stop smoking, but to take something that you do and do it better, nobody ever thinks of that. I had a friend who is a hypnotherapist. He was one of my teachers, and he was seeing a client that had heard about him, and he met him at an airport. He was a businessman who had the fear of flying, but he still had to fly everywhere, so up to this point, he just made himself fly. This teacher of mine, my friend, went and met with him, and it took him about 5 to 10 minutes to get over his fear of flying, and, he said, hey, you got another 50 minutes to go. Do you want to work on anything else? And the guy said, well, yeah, I would like it so that every time I saw my wife, I'd fall more in love with her. And it kind of clicked with him because he never really thought about it, but that was a point where he thought, well, if I can take something that somebody does and just allow them to do it better, it's more fulfilling. So when it comes to hypnosis, when it comes to any kind of change work, you should really be thinking about what can you do better or not just about what you can change.
I think that's important, too. It's it focuses on achieving a higher standard, so to speak, which is another thing that we work on is with a lot of business professionals and athletes are limiting beliefs. So like Bill's talking about improving on what's already good and making it better, a lot of that sometimes has to do with limiting beliefs that people have. And by limiting beliefs, what I mean is, for instance, there's one NFL draft candidate that doesn't believe that he is good enough. And everybody else can see it. They know that he is. But that belief that he himself holds that he's not that good is pulling him back. It's holding him from reaching the ultimate goal that he wants. He just doesn't think he's able to have it. A lot of people do that, and they do it in a lot of different ways. Athletes do it by, I'm never going to hit, that perfect putt. I'm never going to, hit a home run out the park. I'm never going to do this, never going to do that. Business professionals, well, I'm never going to close that $2 million deal. Well, I could do this, but if I made $1 million, I'd have to be gone from my family all the time. There are a lot of beliefs people hold that are not necessarily dangerous in the physical sense, but in the growth sense are very, very debilitating to your mental stamina, so to speak, and keeping you going, keeping you motivated, keeping you strong. And so that's another thing that hypnosis works with is making sure that you are mentally where you are physically, so to speak, for athletes, and making sure that your mental, range of mind is in tune with what you really want and that you're not limiting yourself in any way, shape, or form.
So, a lot of people say, well, how do I find a hypnotherapist? And it's really scary in the United States. There's some states in the union, it is. There's some states in the union that regulate it, but there's like two or three. That's about it. The rest, you can go to a library, read a book on hypnosis, and hang a shingle outside your door and call yourself a hypnotist and begin to see clients. And that's the way it is where we live at. But there's a lot of states that are just the same. And so you really have to watch, who you're dealing with. Now, my degree is not in psychology. My degree is in business, in management and marketing. And so, you know, people will ask, well, are you a doctor? You know, and I say, no, but that allows me to do some things that doctors can't do, because I get a lot of referrals from psychiatrists and psychologists. We get referrals from social workers. We get referrals from medical doctors and nurses, and we have programs in hospitals right now. And the reason that we can do that is because we get results. And if somebody comes over and the doctor sends them over and says, I want this person to lose weight, that's our job, to help this person lose weight. So many times we get people from other hypnotherapists who they've seen other hypnotherapists in the past, and then they come to us, and then we hear the same thing. It's that, well, hypnosis doesn't work, or you know, I just didn't like that hypnotherapist, or I tried hypnosis and it didn't work for me. What it boils down to, it's like a mechanic. If you take your car to a mechanic and then the mechanic turns around and he says, I don't think your car is ready to change or get fixed, that's not the case. It's the mechanic's job to fix the car, and it's our job to help you achieve what you want to achieve. So when somebody comes over, or if you go to a hypnotherapist and they tell you that you can't be hypnotized, or if you go to a hypnotherapist and they say, you know, I just don't think you're ready, then it's the hypnotherapist. It's not you. So that's number one. But if you're looking for a hypnotherapist, call your doctor, call the local hospital, call around and get a referral. You just don't want to go to anybody out of the Yellow Pages, because you have no idea. They can be certified through three or four different organizations, and that doesn't mean a thing. Nikki, just in the past year and a half, 2 years that you've been involved, you've run into some other hypnotherapists. So what is your opinion of our competition that's out there?
It is frightening. It's kind of scary sometimes that people are certified and able to do things and have the control that they have. I think it's very important, again, like I was saying earlier, that you know your hypnotherapist, know their credentials. Even if your state doesn't regulate and doesn't require them to have certifications, they really should.
Absolutely.
And I think that's an important point. And, you know, ask for referrals, ask who they've dealt with, what kind of background did they have. All of those things are very, very important. And there are some key questions that you can ask, which we can go through, that, you know, can anyone be hypnotized? Yes. Can anyone go to a certain state of hypnosis? You know, 20% go to a somnambulist state. I mean, there are certain things that you can ask and can hone in on that will let you know the knowledge and expertise of your hypnotherapist. And I think that's important to do no matter what you're going for, be it, you know, weight loss, stop smoking, or even to improve on something that you're already good at. I think no matter what you're going for, it's important that you know the certifications that they hold.
Yeah, a lot of MDs, I've trained a lot of medical doctors and psychiatrists, social workers, in hypnosis, but you're probably not going to find an MD these days that's going to sit down and do hypnosis with you.
Right.
There used to be. I mean, I got a friend who is in his 80s, and he was an MD, and he delivered a lot of babies back, you know, back in his day. But and he sat down with the women, and he went through a hypnosis session with them once a week, 6 weeks out, to help them deal with the pain and get them more relaxed when they gave birth. You're not going to find a doctor to do that today, at least, you know, very few doctors to do that today, because of managed care and because of insurance and how many patients they have to get through their offices. And they just don't have the time. They have to get people in there, and they have to put them back out the door, and the nurses take care of the rest. Even though I've certified them, they don't do it. Again, it comes down to the time, but it's good to have them certified because they know about it, they can talk intelligently about it, and then when they refer the patient over to me and they become our client, then they already have a really good idea of what's going to go on, and they have the support of their physician, so that always helps. Now, we do get mostly weight loss, and we do get mostly stop smoking, but if we're working under a physician and the patient is in the physician's care, we can see a lot of other things that people come into the doctor's office with. For example, irritable bowel syndrome, hypnotherapy, and biofeedback, which I think biofeedback is a form of hypnotherapy, self-hypnosis, is really good for irritable bowel syndrome because there's a direct link between your brain and your digestive tract. you know that with you're nervous when you eat, your stomach's probably going to be upset after you get done. You know you feel the butterflies in your stomach when you get nervous. So you have a physical manifestation of what you're actually going, what's actually happening in your brain.
Yeah, it's hypnosis works for a lot of the different things that people would not normally be using it for. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind and to keep under your hat, so to speak, and keep aware of.
Remember, if you want to call in and ask us any questions, the number is 877-876-5227, or you can go to our website at bill-nikki.com, and you can log in and send us an email or a text message, whatever you'd like to do. What else do you think people want to know about?
How can you tell if somebody's in a trance?
How can you tell when you're not? People walk in, and I seriously say that because people walk into the office. When I talk to some people that do, that have been through other types of training for hypnosis and they're hypnotherapists, one of the things that I teach them, if I pick up where they left off, is you should start to hypnotize people as soon as they walk through the door. Now, what do I mean by hypnosis to begin with? If you remember back to the start of the hour, when I said hypnosis is a change of state. So anytime you go from one emotional state to another emotional state, hypnosis was just coined, the term hypnosis, in the late 1800s. And it derives from a Greek word for sleep, because everybody thinks you go to sleep when you're in hypnosis because most people have their eyes closed, and that's not the case at all. If, like I said, if you've been driving down the road and you can't remember how you got the last few miles, that's a state of hypnosis. All communication is hypnosis, so as soon as the person walks into your office, or as soon as you walk into a hypnotherapist's office, they should start to begin to frame the whole scene to help you make that change that you want to make. Nikki, you've seen people come through our office, and there's been several appointments, I mean about 50% of the appointments that we see people on, that we don't do a formal induction. And a formal
I define
that as, okay, let's close your eyes and we go through a relaxation. I mean, that's really the old way of doing hypnosis. It's not like that. It's about language patterns. It's about linking different – people will come in and they have different things linked up. For example, they have happiness and relaxation linked up to smoking. And if, as long as you keep those things linked together, those emotions linked up with that physical action, you're going to continue to smoke because you're happy and you're relaxed. But we can break those without putting you into, I guess, a formal trance. I mean, you've seen it in people. For example, we're working with a person who is very, very unhappy right now.
Yeah.
And when she comes in, it's not like some – I mean, we've just now three sessions into it, right, put her into a trance. The first two sessions we were working with her just by talking to her and linking different things to the things that she wants.
We do the closed eye technique.
Yeah, one of my original trainers was Tony Robbins, and he's famous for that. If you go to a Tony Robbins seminar, if you don't know who he is, you can look him up at TonyRobbins.com. But he's well known from infomercials, and he's been in the movie Shallow Hal. But he has 2,500 people in the room, and he'll say, all right, let's do a closed eye technique, or let's do a relaxation technique. Everybody sit back, close your eyes, and I'll just talk to you for a few minutes. That's a state of hypnosis is what's going on, but nobody ever picks up on that. And changes are made in that seminar that are drastic, and the same thing goes on with us. See, with hypnosis, it's not about the hypnosis itself. Like I said, anybody can hypnotize anybody else. It's what do you do with that state. Hypnosis is like a hammer. If a carpenter comes to your house, they're not a hammerer. It doesn't matter if they can work a hammer really well. It's all the other knowledge that goes into it. So it doesn't matter if somebody knows how to hypnotize somebody else really well. What do you do after you help that person make that shift? How do you get them to stop losing weight? How do you get them to improve their relationship? How do you get them to stop smoking? How do you get them to increase their sales? We have a gentleman that we just finished working with, and he's top of my mind because we just finished work with him a couple weeks ago. But he came to us for sales, basically,
yeah.
for cold calls and to increase his sales. And Nikki, you talked to him on the phone last
Motivation. Yeah, he still had one appointment left and doesn't need us anymore. He's doing an amazing, amazing job. He went from having too many hours in the day and, you know, not enough to keep him busy to, I believe he said he has doubled his workload in a positive way, doubled his client base, and is absolutely doing a remarkable job. He equates that 100% to the hypnotherapy that Bill and I did with him and working with him. It completely turned him around. It's been a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, it's it's really good to really see people turn those things around. But, you know, this was a gentleman who had, you know, he had kind of his doubts when he came in. But here's another thing to look for when you go through a hypnotherapist is a lot of them are new agey, which is fine if that's what you're looking for. We are not like that. We come across as very, very business oriented. And when we talk to people, you know, we're down to earth. We explain things, pretty much in everyday terms.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do use the words trance. We use the words relax. And I explain to people, you know, don't associate the word trance with, you know, the 60s, or don't associate it to, you know, a tribe somewhere out in the jungle that goes into a trance. It's not like that. It's an altered state of awareness that you go through naturally 4 times an hour. And the way I explain this to people is, I can sit here and get you upset and get you angry, that's an altered state of awareness, and you become more suggestible, and I can start telling you, you know, you need to eat better, you need to stop smoking, you need to increase your sales, and you'll follow those instructions. The problem is, you know, number one, my safety. I don't want to get anybody angry at me sitting in front of me. But number two is that it's hard to keep somebody in an angry state. When you take them to a relaxed state, you can keep them there, and if you begin to see them start to, you know, get a little restless, you can deal with that and get them back relaxed. That's an altered state, and they just drop their defenses and they become more suggestible. They open up to ideas that they want to accept. And the question that we get a lot is, well, I don't want to give up control, and I don't want to, do something or say something that I normally wouldn't do. So, you know, Nikki, the correct response, because this is a question that always comes up, is that, you know, can you get somebody to do something that they normally wouldn't do, or is against their morals?
Well, yes and no. No, you cannot. You can't hypnotize somebody and say, go rob a bank, and they're going to go rob a bank. If, however, you were to hypnotize them into believing that somebody kidnapped their children, the bank was, you know, in on the deal and, you know, part of the kidnapping, and they had to get the money from the bank in order to save their kids, and it was life or death. You can hypnotize people to believe that a situation isn't what it very literally is, and they will do things that way. But it's, you know, rather complex to do that, and it boils down to, again, your hypnotist and moral and ethical values, etc. So I guess the quick answer is no, you cannot get somebody to do something they would not typically do, but there's always that, you know, loophole that, yes, you could.
Yeah, you could change the reality.
Right, that's what I was trying to say.
Yes. And the thing is, it does come down to ethics. If you give a gun to a criminal, he's going to use it for bad things. If you give a gun to a police officer, he's going to use it for good things. That's the same with hypnosis and any tool that anybody uses. Now, if you're going to make somebody go and rob a bank, it's a whole lot easier to hold a gun to their head and make them go rob a bank than it is to use hypnosis. It's just too much work. But it's very easy to use hypnosis to get them to do something better, like sales, or to get them to make a change that they want. We look for 3 things when people come to us, 3 beliefs that they have to have before we even take them on as clients. Number one is that something must change. It can't be like I should, or I'd like to, or my wife or my husband or my best friend wants me to come and stop smoking or lose weight. It has to be a must, because you have things that you should do, and you know all those things you should do, but you don't do them. You have things at work that you should do, around the house that you should do. You have habits that you should change. I have things myself that I should do that I don't do, because people don't do their shoulds. They do their musts. So that's the first belief we look for in somebody. The second belief is that I must change it. They have to have that belief that I must change it. So many times people will go and try to get a patch from the store for stop smoking, or they'll get a pill to stop smoking, or a pill to lose weight, or they'll want to go and do the bariatric surgery to lose weight, because they don't have that belief that I must change it. They think that there's something out there, a magic bullet someplace, that will change it for them. And hypnosis isn't like that. And that's the first thing I want people to realize when they come to us, is that hypnosis will not make you do anything. You have to want it, and hypnosis will help you do it. But it's like an aid. It's nothing that will actually change your life, because it's a magic pill that you can take. So the second belief is that I must change it. And the third belief is that I can change it. There's so many people that come to us that have the first two, but then they don't have that last one. For example, I had a gentleman probably almost a year ago who said, I know I must change it. It must change, but I don't think I can. I can't come back for the session because I'm out of town. I can't really follow up with it. And so it's one of those things that where you have to be able to do the work. And we do. We put things on CD that people can listen to, and it comes down to dedication. There was probably about 3 years ago, I wanted to lose about 30 pounds, so I made myself a weight loss CD, and I listened to it religiously every day for about a month and a half, 2 months, and I lost the 30 pounds that I wanted to lose. That's the same CD that we have on our website for sale. I know it works. I've had clients use it. The clients know it works. As a matter of fact, the husband and wife that we were talking about earlier that lost all the weight, they used the CD. That's why they didn't come back, because they listened to the CD every single day and they got down to the weight that they wanted to be at. And people will purchase the CD. They'll get about 5 to 6 days into it, and something will happen, and they won't listen to the CD that day. And then the next day it becomes even easier not to listen to, and then they don't listen to it for 2 weeks. And then I get a phone call saying, well, it started to change my eating habits and my exercise habits, but then it just stopped. And the reason is, it's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do. So when you have the CD, you have to have that I must change it and that I can change it attitude in order to have that motivation to listen to the CD every day. And it's a matter of closing your eyes and just relaxing, and it's really a nice time to yourself, and it relieves a lot of stress. Now remember, we are taking calls, 877-876-5227, if you have any questions about hypnosis, or if you've been to a hypnotherapist, or if you are thinking about going to one, give us a call. You can also visit the website at bill-nikki.com and drop us a text message or an email, and we'll answer any questions that way also. Nikki, what other kind of questions do we get from people?
Well, I think actually that we should talk for a minute about hypnosis has become so mainstream, and I say so mainstream, I guess more mainstream, and is growing in popularity daily. It's become more and more of, I guess, a common occurrence, a common thing. People don't. It still has somewhat of the stereotype, but not anywhere near like it did. It's not to the extent that, you know, in the old days, nobody wanted to be hypnotized. It was just a big, big to-do. And I think now, at least in the last 10 years, it started to be a lot more commonplace. In the last couple of years, it's become even more so. And I think, like you were saying earlier, doctor's offices are doing it, dentist offices. The doctors themselves don't do it. But something that we have seen a huge, huge growth in is social workers. We've seen several social workers, and I think that's a field that is starting to embrace the hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming and using it more and more in their sessions with juveniles, with parents of juveniles, with sex offenders, with alcoholics, all these different things. So I think hypnosis itself has become so much more mainstream and so much more commonplace than it used to be. And there are a lot of people who are using hypnosis and hypnotic inductions hypnotic language and neurolinguistic programming that you may not even be aware of, like that, for instance, the social worker, dentist. You know, a lot of the dental offices now are using hypnotic language, not necessarily an induction, but they're using the hypnotic language, which is also called neurolinguistic programming, while you're sitting in the chair to keep you calm, keep you, you know, from getting nervous, excited, different things like that. So it's become something more readily available, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah. So let's kind of change gears here. And Nikki, if you go to a hypnotherapist and you're in their office, what kind of things would make you leave? What should people watch out for?
Good question. I guess if they don't know what they're talking about and if they're not asking me a lot of questions, that would be a red flag. If they're using, I hate to say it, but if I were not involved in hypnosis and didn't know, you know, a whole lot about it, I kind of want to hear things that I'm not familiar with, and then I want them to explain it to me. I want to know that they know what they're doing because I don't know what they're doing. So I want all of the technical jargon, and I want to be comfortable with all of that terminology and wording.
So if they say they've worked with, like, 2,000 clients, I mean, what do you think about that? Does that sound good?
Sure.
It does sound good, but anybody can tell you they worked with 2,000 clients. The only way you can really know...
referrals.
...is a referral.
Yeah.
So you and you can tell. When you sit down with somebody, you can tell just by how they speak to you about hypnosis. There's specific questions that you may want to ask. For example, you know, where did you get your training? And how long have you been doing this? And you can check people out. For example, with the Society of Applied Hypnosis, which is one of the organizations that I'm certified through, I'm a trainer for them. They're also our sponsor for the show for this week. And Jeff Richards, who is the president of the Society of Applied Hypnosis, will be a guest on the show next week. And you can call them directly. They're online, and you can get on their website, and you can give them a call, and you can find out how long this person has been certified, what kind of training this person did go through. But you also want to find with the organization, you want to find out, you know, what kind of training standards that they have. Because,
right.
Again, there's so many training standards out there where they go for a weekend course. Now, the weekend course is not bad. What you're doing is learning how to hypnotize somebody, period. It introduces you to hypnosis. It's an intro to hypnosis. So it's a good way to begin to understand what hypnosis is, get a couple of trance inductions under your belt, and really get you out there practicing. But, you know, I wouldn't take a Friday through Sunday course and then hang out a shingle and start seeing people for weight loss and stop smoking, because you need that experience of hypnotizing other people, but you also need the experience of how do you do therapy while you're under a state of hypnosis. And that's what they don't teach you in these weekend courses. So make sure, it doesn't matter what course you go to, if it's a Society of Applied Hypnosis or an American Board of Hypnotherapy, but whatever course that you go through, make sure that it's a course that will teach you not only to hypnotize people, but they have some advanced classes that you can learn how to do the therapy in. Nikki, you went through, actually, the Society of Applied Hypnosis because I took you through it.
Handy being married to a hypnotist.
Yeah. Sometimes.
It's those nights I don't remember that get me.
yeah, that's good. So when we went through the history of hypnosis and all that's good, most training sessions would take you through that. But what was the focus of the training, though? What did you feel the focus of the training was on?
Doing the hypnosis.
Yeah, that's what it's focused on. It's actually applying it. Can you do it without looking at a script? Can
right.
you recognize the trance? Do you know when you have somebody hypnotized? And what are some of the things that you can do while a person is under hypnosis? And then how do you do therapy? How do you frame your language? How do you
right.
say the words that need to be said in order to help these people change?
Meta model.
Yeah, there's all kinds of models. We'll keep you in all those in future shows. And what I want my students to do when they leave the training session is to be able to sit down with somebody And in a normal conversation, if this person wants to stop smoking or lose weight, over dinner, in a normal conversation, have this person stop smoking or lose weight without doing a formal transinduction. That's what I want them to be able to do, because that's where the real art of hypnosis comes in at.
Being able to do it, right.
Right.
That is one of the focuses that we had through the whole training was, we did a lot of hypnosis, and I think that's one of those things that when you become more comfortable, Bill always says that the most important element of a hypnotist is confidence. Because, again, anybody can hypnotize, but you got to be confident that what you're doing is going to work and, you know, that you're doing it right, and that's a big thing. And like what you're talking about now, I hate to say doing it on the fly, but that's kind of what it is doing it discreetly.
Covertly.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to go about it, especially if people are a little skeptical. If they know you're doing it or going to do it, and they're expecting that you're going to have this big formal, you know, trance and this big induction and, oh, I'm going to have to, you know, lay down on the couch and close my eyes, and you are, you know, in a meeting discussing all of the things you're going to do and how they're going to stop and all those things, and they get done and you go, by the way, you probably won't smoke again after the conversation we just had. It's pretty cool. It's neat to see the way they look at, you know, look at life, I guess, from that day forward. It's a neat thing.
And if people have never been hypnotized before, the thing that the phrase that I always get, and I use the word always because it almost always, about 95% of the time, happens, is that you'll go through this big long induction, you'll get him relaxed, and you'll talk to him for 25 minutes, and then you'll bring him out and emerge him, and they'll say, "Well, it didn't feel like I was hypnotized. I was just sitting here relaxed, listening to you talk." That's because that's the perception people have, is that they're going to go completely out. They won't remember anything. It's like they're asleep, and then they'll wake up, and they're completely changed. If you can do hypnosis in a normal conversation-type setting, then you don't get that objection. And if you explain it right to begin with, you don't get that objection. And that's really what I want my students to do when they leave the class, is to be able to do that. That's what I expect out of myself when I sit down in front of a client. Is I want them to be totally comfortable with hypnosis, but I don't want that phrase to come out at the end, well, it doesn't even feel like I was hypnotized, because I want the perception of what they walked in the office with when it came to hypnosis to be completely different by the time they leave. Because the only way that we build our business is through results. We have to get the results. They have to lose the weight they want to lose. They have to stop smoking. They have to increase their sales. They have to drop their strokes on their golf game. They have to score more baskets in basketball. That's what they came to us to do, and we have to make sure that they do that, because hypnosis doesn't mean squat if they're not getting the results that they want. There was and for example, when it came down to hypnosis for sports, there was a study done at a major university several years back in regards to on basketball. They took half the basketball team at the university, put half of them in a classroom, had them practice shooting foul shots mentally, put the other half on the basketball court to have them practice shooting foul shots. For a couple of days they did this. When they brought them back together, so half of the group that was in the classroom improved at a faster rate than the half that was physically doing it on the court. You can't take somebody off the street and do this, but this group of people already had the motor skills. They were the basketball team. The reason this worked is because the people in the classroom could practice faster. They didn't have to wait on the ball to come back or somebody else to shoot the shot before they did. But you hear the phrase also that practice makes perfect. Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. In the classroom, every shot that they shot in their mind went in the basket. On the court, some of them did, some of them didn't. When they brought them back in, they trained their muscles, they trained their brain in order to make the shots more consistently than the people did that were on the court. That's what we're teaching people how to do when they go to a hypnotherapist, is they practice in their mind losing weight by changing their eating habits and exercising more. They practice choosing something else besides a cigarette. And when they choose that something else besides a cigarette and it meets their need just as well as a cigarette does, then they're going to make that change. We condition it, and it stays a permanent change. Right?
Right.
Again, if you want to go to our website, it's bill-nicky.com. It's bill-nicky, N-I-K-K-I.com. You can drop us an email. Our phone number's on there. You can text message us. Text message us, whatever you'd like to do. If you'd like to call into the show or any future shows, it's 877-876-5227. And we are here every Tuesday from, Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6, Pacific Time, 2 to 3. Anything else you'd like to add?
We only got a couple minutes here, baby, to wrap up with. I think just the general overview is hypnosis isn't scary. It's not a state that you go into and don't come back out of. It's not anything to be afraid of. It's a normal physical thing that your body, your mind goes through on its own. So we can help you get there. We can help you teach yourself to get there safely and to do the things that you want to do. If you're looking for a hypnotist, if you want to make some changes, shoot us an email, give us a call. We'd be happy to guide you in the right direction. Help you find somebody that's accredited in your area and get you some more information on it. If you have questions even through the week before the next show, again, shoot us an email, give us a call. We'd be more than happy to answer anything that you've got. Anything else from you, baby?
Sure. What would you like me to say? when you're looking for a hypnotherapist or a hypnotist, just, you know, be smart about it. Get a referral, or like I said, we will refer you if you give us a call, and we'll make sure you get in the hands of somebody that knows what they're doing. And again, any kind of question you have about hypnosis, you can always email us or call us. Again, it's bill-nicky.com, N-I-K-K-I.com. And if you drop us an email or give us a call or text messages, however you want to get a hold of us, we'll answer any kind of question that you have.
Also, if you have any show ideas for something that you are curious about and or a guest you'd like us to have on, drop us a line for that too, and we would be more than happy to do what we can to get guests on here that you guys want to hear. And if you have a show idea that, you know, a topic you want us to cover, in particular a specific zone of hypnosis, so to speak, or a specific topic, email us that, get us that information, and we will do that as well, and or get back to you and get some more information from you. But we're here to help.
And I promise it'll be more exciting, but, you know, we had to get out the definition of what hypnosis is and all the misconceptions of what it is before we went on any other shows. And we do have the president of the Society of Applied Hypnosis on next week, and dancers and some music. So you want to make sure
it's a radio show, maybe you can't see dancers.
let's see.
That's about it.
All right, and so we're closing the show. Again, if you have any questions, just drop us an email at bill-nicky.com or give us a call. Our phone number's on the website.
We appreciate you tuning in, and thanks for listening.